This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Georgia Congressman Phil Gingrey, a Republican representing the Peach State's 11th Congressional District. He's also a practicing physician and has been very active in the Republican Party's positions on various issues related to the health care debate. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, Greg, glad to be with you.
There is one component about this bill that has been getting a lot of attention lately, partly due to whether it really smacks of an American concept, also because of some of the severe penalties associated with those who wouldn't comply with it, and that's the individual mandate. Some have said that this is a good way to make sure that everybody's part of the system. Others say this is going completely contrary to the idea of actually having choice in the healthcare system, even though having a coverage might be a responsible thing. What do you make of the concept of the individual mandate?
Well, I'm very much opposed to the individual mandate. I frankly think it's unconstitutional to force people not only to purchase health insurance, but also to tell them what type of health insurance that they can purchase. And I'm thinking in particular, there's so many young people that are straight out of high school or straight out of college, and they have their first job, and they're paying for a car, they're paying for an apartment, they're paying off school loans, and the only health insurance that they might be able to afford would be a high deductible, low monthly premium, very low monthly premium that has catastrophic coverage, and it's combined with a health savings account. Well, in the House bill, I'm not sure what the language in the Senate bill is, but in H.R. 3200, it would not permit them to purchase that type of insurance. So what happens is, more and more people end up with no insurance rather than, good catastrophic coverage. So, I think it's wrong. I would encourage young people, of course, to at least have that plan that I just described. But if they decide they don't want to and they have good, healthy habits. They don't smoke. They don't drink. They exercise. Nobody in the family has got heart disease or cancer, and they want to just pay as they go. My gosh, is that not the American way?
Congressman, a lot of other issues that I know you're concerned about in the Democratic version of reform. Is the mandate in and of itself enough of a problem to be a deal killer for you?
Well, it probably, Greg, is enough of a problem to be a deal killer for me. The real deal killer, though, of course, is the public option. That's an absolute 100% deal killer, and I would never vote for a plan that had that in there. As far as the insurance companies, they're willing to give in regard to not denying people for pre-existing conditions and that type thing, ending rescissions, not cancellation of policies after the fact. But they want, in return for that, they want this forced insurance on everybody so they pick up all this extra business. I think they ought to do these things without that concession. They're doing quite well, and they're making a nice profit. I don't begrudge them that. But the forcing people, individuals, many of whom are not poor enough to be eligible for the benefit, for the subsidies, and they certainly are not low enough income to qualify for Medicaid, to force them to purchase health insurance that is basically first-dollar coverage, they can't afford that.
Congressman, you mentioned your opposition also to the public option, and today that's the focal point of debate really for the Senate Finance Committee. And from what we're hearing, it appears that it's not going to be added to the Baucus bill, but he, of course, has the co-op alternative, which some believe is basically the same thing eventually as the public option. Do you believe that if the Senate Finance Committee does in fact reject this, that that's pretty much it for the public option and they'll go with a more watered down version? Or do you think, given where Nancy Pelosi and some others stand, that it's still very much part of the debate?
Well, of course, I think on the Senate side, I know that Senator Rockefeller from West Virginia introduced an amendment to put the public option in the Senate finance plan, and it was rejected. I don't know how many. Of course, it's a 13-10 split, Democratic versus Republican, so obviously some Democrats voted against that. I think Chuck Schumer, Senator from New York, probably has a similar amendment. And then Olympia Snowe was talking about submitting an amendment that would have a public option, but only with a trigger. She may or may not introduce that amendment. I'm opposed to all of that. And quite honestly, this idea of a co-op is very fuzzy. I'm certainly opposed to the my constituents chipping in to pay $6 billion to front-end load this co-op so they can get off the ground and get up and running, and then it turns out to be nothing but a public option in disguise. So I'm very leery of the co-op.
Where do you expect this to end up in the next few weeks, Congressman?
Well, you know, I think that the Senate Finance Committee will pass something. And, of course, it's got to get to the floor of the Senate. And I'm sure the Democrats would love to be able to get something through without cramming it through with the nuclear option, the reconciliation trick that they'll put in their budget resolution, which would allow them to do that. I would imagine that something will pass in the Senate, but it will not have a public option in it. Hopefully, it will not have an individual mandate. But, you know, if they're able to get that through with 51 votes with an individual mandate, then we go to conference with that from the Senate and the bill from the House. Speaker Pelosi continues to say that bill is going to have a public option in it. I don't see where she gets the votes, quite honestly, to do that. But if she does, and if it goes to conference, I think then the president really weighs in heavily. And, you know, he's spending a lot of political capital here, and they'll probably strip out the public option. And, you know, if the conference report comes to us, it'll be without a public option.
Well, we'll certainly see what develops, as you mentioned, first at the committee level, then on the floor of each chamber. So still a long way to go, and we look forward to talking to you as this all progresses. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Well, Greg, thank you. I know we're running out of time, but quite honestly, I think our first priority ought to be the economy and getting people back to work. We can solve this health care problem in an incremental way, and we have some great Republican ideas, but I think this is totally wrong to try to pass a $1.5 trillion reform of our health care system, especially at a time like this.
And we look forward to talking about those Republican alternatives like buying health insurance across state lines, a tort reform, and all sorts of things. Congressman, again, appreciate your time very much.
Greg, my pleasure. Thank you.
Republican Congressman Phil Gingrey represents the 11th Congressional District in Georgia. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.